Case Closed is made possible by the support of its listeners. If you'd like to help keep this show coming every week, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on that donate link the next time you visit relicradio.com. Thanks for your support. And now, onto this week's show. This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, 60 minutes of old-time radio crime brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first show this week is The Dark Journey, an episode from This Is Your FBI that first aired October 20th, 1950. After that, it's Barry Craig, confidential investigator, and nobody lives there anymore. His story from February 9th, 1955.
Full Life Assurance Society presents This Is Your FBI. This Is Your FBI, the official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Presented, transcribed as a public service by the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community. The Equitable Life Assurance Society has more than 8,000 trained representatives from coast to coast, serving nearly 6 million members. Tonight, one of our Equitable Society representatives has a brief message on Social Security.
Undoubtedly, you heard of the recent changes in the Social Security law. Maybe you're one of the 10 million who now have Social Security for the first time. Or, if you're already covered by Social Security, your benefits have been largely increased. In either case, this is a good time to take stock of your family's financial position. To help you, the Equitable Society has revised its famous fact-finding chart for fathers and mothers. Listen carefully in 14 minutes when Mr. Keating will tell you what this Equitable chart can do for you.
Tonight, FBI file number 289. Its subject, Jailbreak. Its title, The Dark Journey.
There may have been a time in America when ordinary citizens could look with unconcern at the nation's crime picture. There may have been such a time, but if there ever was, that time is past. Currently, more than 5,000 major crimes are being committed every day in this country. This is a time for action. Action on the part of every citizen in the daily war against America's army of crime. What kind of action? For one thing, we should get rid of our unconcern and try to cooperate with America's anti-crime army of law enforcement officials. Tonight's file opens as a driving rain pours over an eastern state. In the poor light of early dawn, two men are barely visible. Two men in slate-gray uniforms, beaten by the rain and their own fatigue as they stagger toward a dirt road. A road that will take them further and further from the prison they have just shot their way out of.
Take it easy, Art.
You didn't bust out to take it easy. Keep going.
Art. Give me a hand.
Okay.
Ankle.
You still got a good one left. Come on. That's the road.
I don't see no car.
Well, Pete wouldn't have his lights on.
Still don't see no car. I
told Pete we'd meet him right by these trees.
Maybe get stuck.
Wait a minute. Up there.
What?
Tire track.
Yeah?
But fresh ones. The car pulled in and parked under the trees, then pulled out again. Well, he's been here and gone.
What do we do now?
I don't know.
Maybe we could use that gun. Stop the next car.
On this road, you could wait all night. And keep going anyway.
They'll follow our prints.
We ain't gonna leave any. From here on, we're using that stream.
later in the warden's office at the prison, FBI Special Agent Jim Taylor has just introduced himself to Warden Sterling.
What can I do for you, Taylor?
Well, not very much now, I'm afraid. I came over to interview a couple of prisoners that we had detainers on, but, well, I hear they're over the wall.
Mason and Hudson?
That's right.
Yeah. I'd like to interview them myself.
Well, nobody gave me any details, Warden. All I heard was that they'd escaped.
Well, they somehow managed to get guns and killed a guard and went out the side gate.
Oh? Pardon me, Warden.
Yes, Wilcox?
Reporting from the state police barracks. They put three cars on the case.
Good. Tell Carson to repeat the teletype on that all points alarm.
Right away, sir.
That's the first escape from here in a long time, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, we had a good record up to this morning.
Any leads at all on where they headed, Warden?
Not yet. The sheriff's over talking to the other prisoners in that cell block.
No. Oh, Warden, that mail check that you were keeping on them for us?
Oh, nothing came of it. Neither ever mentioned where they hid that loot.
You keep a record on where all outgoing mail is sent on.
Yes, we're checking everyone either Mason or Hudson wrote to since they got here.
Busy, Warden?
Oh, come in, Sheriff, come in. This is Agent Taylor of the FBI.
How are you, Sheriff?
Hello, Taylor. One of the prisoners talked. He was double-crossed by Ox Hudson and left behind. He said they were meeting a car on the River Road.
What car?
Couldn't get a description, but it's driven by a man named Pete Bradley.
Well, he just finished serving time here.
Well, can we get his record?
Right away. Hey, look, you and the sheriff go ahead into the next office. We've set that up as headquarters for the search.
All right, Warden.
There's a map of the area on the wall, teletype machines and phones. I'll send Bradley's record in to you just as soon as the file room can get it up here.
More coffee, Mother?
No.
Well, I'll have a touch. There. Rain seems to be letting up.
Uh-huh.
I went over the milk accounts this morning. We had a pretty good month.
How much?
$150 profit.
What do you aim to do with it?
Well, try to make up my mind whether to use it to paint the barn or have the mower repaired.
Yes.
Martha!
Paint the barn or get the mower repaired.
What's wrong with that?
Ain't you ever going to think about something for me?
Well, Martha, you know I try to do right by you.
Sure. Sure, you take me into the village once a month, buy me one new dress a year, and I'm supposed to be grateful. Well, I ain't. I'm just plain sick of it.
I get it. Well? Yes, Sheriff. When was that? I see. No, we haven't. Say what? Around here? Sure will, Sheriff. All right. Goodbye. Sheriff said to watch out for two men escaped from prison. Stole $40,000 last year. Broke out so they could get it. Look, Marty, I'm sorry you feel the way that...
I don't want to talk about it. You got your chores to do, ain't you? Go on out and do them.
How long do we lay here?
I'm open a minute. The guy's heading for the house.
Look, why don't we just rouse them, huh?
Because there must be a car or a truck in that barn. If we can get it without him knowing it, we're that much in front. Yeah, he's going in the house. Come on, let's head for the barn.
Okay. Oh, this ankle of mine is killing me.
Quit baiting. Let's cut through here.
Okay. Is there a door at this end?
Yeah, right over there. Come on, move, will you?
Well, I'm doing the best I can.
I guess this slides open. Go ahead.
All right, all right. Hey, look. Truck back there.
Yeah.
Well, now, if there's only keys in it.
Don't move. Yeah, I knew how this gun works. I've used it before.
Look, lady, I think you got us wrong. We just come in here to get out of the rain. You see, our car was stuck up the road.
Save your lying. I know what you're doing. You were waiting till my husband went to the house so you could come in here and see if there was a car to steal.
Well, why should we do that, lady?
Because it would take you further away from the prison.
What?
I know who you are. The sheriff called here, told us to watch out for you.
What do we do, Alex?
Arthur, where are you?
I'm in the barn.
I'll be wanting the early supper.
I'll be right up to fix it for you.
Why didn't you tell him we were here?
I got my reasons. You wait here. I'll be back later.
Sheriff, one of your deputies just called in. Pete Bradley's been located.
Yeah, where?
At the Hotel Central.
Did he question him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did he say about Mason and Hudson?
Well, he admitted that he was in on the escape. So he'd gone out to meet the men, and he got scared off when he heard the sirens.
Did he know where they were heading?
Yeah, they were going to dig up that loot they buried from the last job they did.
Did Bradley know where it was buried?
Well, he claimed he doesn't. They were picked up near here for that job, weren't they, Sheriff?
Yes, I was in on the case. They were arrested 11 hours after the robbery.
Well, then it's possible that loot is buried someplace quite near here, isn't it?
Could be, right around where they were picked up.
And you show me on the map where that was, Sheriff?
Yeah. I told you before. Sure. Now, here you are. Let's see. They were picked up right here.
Where are the roadblocks?
Well, there's one here.
Yeah.
Here. Here. One over here.
Yeah, well, then, if they're going to pick up that loot, they've got to attempt to go through one of them.
You see who that is?
It's the dame. We're over here, lady.
Here's something to eat.
Oh, lady, I thought I was never going to see 40.
Hey, leave some for me, will you?
Oh, hot Rochelle.
There's water in this jug.
Swamp.
Well, don't wait for it, will you?
Here. Tell me something, lady. Why aren't you turning us in?
I got a reason.
Like what?
Like me being better off if you stay free.
I don't get it.
When the sheriff called us about you, he said you stole $40,000 last year. Said you broke out so you could go get that money.
So?
Well, there's roadblocks set up all over the county. If you're going to get to it, you're going to need help. If you get help, you're going to pay for it.
Trying to make a deal, lady?
Trying to get the money. If I get you through the roadblocks, how much would it be worth to you?
How will you get us through?
I'll tell you that when you answer my question.
We'd give you $5,000.
$5,000?
That's right. Now, how do you get us through?
That truck back there is a milk truck. My husband drives it tonight to the dairy. It's full of milk now. You fellas drain it out and climb into the tank.
Huh? You mean to shy that thing?
That's right.
Your husband in on this?
No. But I'll be riding with him. I'll see that you get where you want to go. Now, where do we drive to?
You head down Route 11 till you come to the diner. The next right turn's a dirt road. You're taking a half mile, you come to a cabin.
That's where you're going?
That's where we're going.
Then start draining the milk from the tank.
We will return in just a minute to tonight's exciting case from the official files of your FBI.
Now, a special announcement to fathers and mothers from the Equitable Life Assurance Society. The Equitable Society's famous fact-finding chart for fathers and mothers has just been completely revised to take into account the increased benefits of the new Social Security law.
Remember, people previously covered by Social Security now receive increased benefits. An estimated 10 million more people are now covered by Social Security benefits for the first time. So this revised fact-finding chart for fathers and mothers couldn't be more timely.
What you do when you get this chart is very simple. You imagine that the regular income of your family has been suddenly cut off. What happens then? The children are still young, so your wife can't go to work. What monthly income will be required to keep your family from breaking up? How much will they need to live decently?
The fact-finding chart for fathers and mothers will give you a reliable and accurate answer.
How many additional dollars will they need to be well-fed, well-housed, well-clothed until the youngest child finishes high school?
In 5 minutes, the fact-finding chart for fathers and mothers gives you an answer you can trust. Guides you every step of the way with simple, easy-to-understand pictures.
Once you have the facts, you can plan intelligently. Chances are that with your present life insurance and your new Social Security benefits, only a small amount of additional life insurance will give your family complete security. Your Equitable representative will be glad to work out a sound program. In any event, ask him for a copy of the revised fact-finding chart for fathers and mothers. No charge, of course. So get in touch with your Equitable representative, or write care of this station to the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States. And now back to the FBI file, The Dark Journey.
You may be asking how tonight's case from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation concerns you. The answer is simple. Every crime, wherever it happens to be committed, is of vital interest to every person in the nation. It is therefore of equally vital interest to every person in the nation that all of us cooperate in cutting down the number of successful crimes. Obviously, the farmer's wife in tonight's story is an unstable individual of whom we perhaps should not expect too much. But unfortunately, despite her instability, she is all too typical of too many citizens who are not only unconcerned with the crime picture, but even at times condone it. That is why this case was selected from the FBI file. Tonight's file continues at the state prison.
Taylor, we may have gotten a break.
What's that?
One of my deputies just reported he traced the footprints of Mason and Hudson from the river road to the stream.
Is he sure it's their prints?
Positive. No mistaking prison shoes.
Well, let's take another look at that map, huh? Oh, but where did he find the prints, Sheriff?
In through here.
Oh, that's the river road where Pete Bradley was supposed to wait for them, isn't it?
Right. Now, here's the stream.
Just beyond the woods, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And the only thing upstream from there are the mountains up here, huh?
Just about.
Sheriff, anybody live up in those hills?
Well, not during the winter. My men have checked a few cabins, and there's no sign of them up through there.
Yeah? How about down here, this downstream section?
Well, that's not too populated either. Mostly those farms we called.
Well, I'd say that's the way they'd head once they hit the stream, though. Come on, Sheriff, let's put on a house-to-house search.
This is a great arrangement. Wish I was back in a nice, comfortable cell.
Anytime you want out, just lift that lid.
This would milk go through all the time?
Yeah, it suffers. Man, we're slowing down.
Maybe it's a roadblock.
We ain't gone far enough yet. It's a hill.
I'd sure like to know where we are.
And the dame knows the way. As long as we're moving, we're getting closer to that 40 G's.
35, you mean?
I mean 40.
The dame gets 5.
I got a big P.S. for you, kid. The dame gets nothing.
Where's the next farm, Sheriff?
Just around the bend.
Huh? How many have we got to go?
About a half a dozen.
Oliver's still getting all laid. Maybe
Deputy
we
Brown
had...
calling Sheriff Jordan.
I'll get it, Sheriff. Brown, this is Taylor. You got anything?
Mason and Hudson were seen over here near the Adams farm.
When?
A couple of hours ago.
Well, how come Adams didn't report that when we called?
He's been out in the pasture all day. First he heard of the alarm was 10 minutes ago.
Which way were Mason and Hudson heading?
Toward town.
Can I have that, Taylor?
Yeah. There you are.
Bill?
Yes, Sheriff?
Get hold of McLaughlin, Kramer, and Reddick. Start working your way towards town. Just forget about the other territory.
You joining us?
No. There aren't many farms left. You four can handle them. Call me if you find anything.
Funny night, ain't it, Martha?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I like the look of things after a rain. Everything's so... Uh-oh.
What?
See, some folks are in for trouble.
What do you mean?
Hey, you see those little red flags on the gas pump we just passed? There's a couple more at the diner up ahead. Means there's a weighing crew up the road.
A what?
A weighing crew. The fellas work for the state. They weigh every truck so they can pick up the overload.
They going to be weighing this one?
Sure. Well, I got nothing to worry about. Even with a full tank, I'm always under the limit.
You tell them you got a full tank?
Sure.
Then they're going to think you're lying.
What do you mean?
Tank is empty.
What? I filled it.
You filled it, and it was drained.
Drained? Why?
There's two men riding back there. Two men who escaped from the prison.
Martha.
I put them there.
What?
I put them there so they could get through the roadblock.
Just a minute.
You mean you're helping two criminals to escape?
That's right.
Martha, what's got into you?
I'm getting paid for doing it. I'm getting $5,000.
Well, that don't make any difference.
$5,000 don't make any difference?
No, these men are wanted by the law.
The law ain't gonna get them.
Now, look, Martha, I'm telling you right now that...
Tom, you're making me say this. That money means a lot to me. Means so much that I got a gun here on the seat beside me. And if you say anything to anybody about them men being back there, so help me, I'll use the gun on you.
Sure, man back at the scale says they've been stationed here for over 2 hours.
Nothing suspicious going by?
No, not yet. I gave him full descriptions.
Good.
Oh, I borrowed the scale master's record sheet. Thought you might take a look and see if there are any strange trucks on the list.
Well, I wouldn't know all of them at this end of the county.
Deputy Brown, the Sheriff Jordan.
Yes, Bill?
We've traced Mason and Hudson as far as Tom King's farm, but they're not here now.
Tom around?
No. He and his business pulled out a while ago with a load of milk.
That dairy Tom deals with. It's that one in Rockport, isn't it?
That's right.
Hold it a minute, Bill. Taylor, look at that sheet. See if Tom King's going by here.
Tom King, yeah. Yeah, he has in his truck. Hey, wait a minute. Sheriff, can we call that roadblock up ahead?
No. They got no two-way hookup.
Well, then we better see how fast we can get up there.
We're slowing down.
Yeah.
Think we're coming to the roadblock?
Could be. Yeah, he's stopping.
What's he saying?
Shh.
Can you hear?
He's asking what's in the truck. Yeah, they're talking about us.
You mean it?
Get your gun out.
We in trouble?
I don't think so, but let's not take any chances. If anybody opens that lid, start shooting.
Nobody's talking now.
Uh-uh.
Think they made us?
I told you, I don't know. says we're clear.
There's a cabin. Pull up in front of it.
Martha, what you're doing is all wrong.
That's for me to judge. Stop right here.
Look, Martha, I want you to know one thing. That gun had nothing to do with why I kept quiet. But can't I talk to you now? Can't I make you see how wrong you are?
My mind's made up, Tom. Open the lid. Let them fellas out. Do like I say.
All right, in there, you can come out.
I'll give you a boot now. And you out?
Oh, this ankle.
More bullet.
All right.
Ah, there's the cabin. Looks familiar, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
This your husband, lady?
Yeah. Now, where's the money?
Turn around, both of you.
Huh?
This gun says turn around, start walking toward the cabin.
What are you doing? What about the money?
Just walk, lady.
Do like he says, Martha.
But the money, the $5,000.
Come on.
No!
He has a gun.
I don't care.
You should, lady, because I'll use it.
Hop behind you.
You're both covered. Now drop your guns. Go on. Better. All right, Sheriff, get them.
Right.
Now let's drive them all back to headquarters.
Frank Hudson, nicknamed Ox, and Al Mason were both tried and convicted to serve life terms for the murder of the prison guard. Martha King was tried in state court and given 2 years suspended sentence for harboring a fugitive. Special Agent Taylor and Sheriff Jordan apprehended the escaped convicts because in looking at the Scalemaster's sheet of weights, Agent Taylor saw that Tom King's milk truck weighed much less than the other tank trucks. He knew that meant King was driving with an empty tank, which could be the hiding place of the hunted men. The two law enforcement officers sped to the roadblock in time to reach it before Tom King got there to allow the truck to pass with only a perfunctory search, to follow it at a discreet distance, and finally, to perform their double function of recovering the stolen money and arresting the criminals. And thus, once more, cooperation between the Federal Bureau of Investigation and a local law enforcement agency helped close a file. Helped close it successfully.
In just a moment, you will hear about next week's exciting case from the files of your FBI. But first, another quick message from our Equitable Society representative on the fact-finding chart for fathers and mothers.
Folks, don't think you're obligated by asking one of us Equitable representatives for a copy of this helpful chart. Any one of us will be glad to bring you a free copy of the fact-finding chart for fathers and mothers, revised to fit the recent changes in Social Security. Why not phone soon?
Or send a postcard, care of this radio station, to the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States.
Next week, we will dramatize another case from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. File number 290. Its subject, car theft. Its title, The International Heist.
The incidents used in tonight's Equitable Life Assurance Society's broadcast are adapted from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. However, all names used are fictitious, and any similarity thereof to the names of places or persons living or dead is accidental. Tonight, the music was composed and conducted by Frederick Steiner. The author was Jerry D. Lewis. Your narrator was William Woodson, and Special Agent Taylor was played by Stacey Harris. Others in the cast were Anthony Barrett, Walter Catlett, Ted DeCorsia, Tony Hughes, Jeanette Nolan, Victor Rodman, and Tom Tully. This Is Your FBI is a Jerry Devine production. This is Larry Keating speaking for the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community. and inviting you to tune in again next week at the same time when the Equitable Life Assurance Society will bring you another thrilling transcribed story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The International Heist on This Is Your FBI. Stay tuned for the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. There's fun for the whole family when Ozzie and Harriet come your way next.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
One nice thing about being a murderer, you don't have to worry about being included in the old age pension fund. You're not going to have an old age.
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. I was drinking myself to death this particular evening. Not liquor. At Willie's Wagon, it's the coffee that's fatal. Also, I was finding out from the newspapers that chorus girls were still busy suing elderly millionaires, that a hood named Ben Moran had knocked off an armored car and disappeared, and that the police were questioning his girlfriend, Penny Lane. Her picture was spread across the front page. It wasn't art, but it would sell a lot of papers. Also, we were going to have some more weather.
That don't surprise me.
That's because you're a cynic, Willie.
Do I ask you about your religion?
It was around 10:30 at night. But it looked later for the girl who came into the wagon as though it was the last stop on a trip she hadn't planned on making.
Excuse me, but can you tell me if there's more than one Hotel Meeker?
The only one I know of is around the corner from here. You tried a phone book?
Yes, I did. I must be going insane.
Hey, Mr. Craig.
I've got it. She passed out.
Yeah, take her in the back room. Yeah. I got the couch there.
That's fine.
Hey, sounds like she's coming, too.
Get some coffee for her.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
What about?
Fainting. My name is Wilson, Myra Wilson.
I'm Barry Craig. What's bothering you about the Meeker?
You won't believe me.
Well, I'm a confidential investigator. I've got a lot of practice believing people. Clients, usually. Try me.
Well, my husband and I got to town this afternoon. We took a room at the Hotel Meeker. After lunch, I went shopping into a movie. Then I went back to the hotel. It looked the same.
Hotels don't change much in an afternoon.
But when I asked at the desk for my husband, the clerk said no one by that name was registered.
The clerk must have remembered you.
No. He said he'd never seen me before.
It was a nice story. It had shape, surprise, a nightmare touch. The odds were wonderful that it was a pony from the word go. Maybe that's why I walked over to the Hotel Meeker with Myra Wilson.
Good evening, sir.
Mrs. Wilson would like the key to her room.
Oh, back again, eh? Mrs. Wilson does not have a room here.
She checked in this morning with her husband.
She doesn't have a room here, neither does her husband, if she has a husband.
I could take you apart without any trouble. Putting you together again might be harder.
Look, there's no card for Mr. and Mrs. Wilson. I never saw or heard of Mrs. Wilson before. I've been on duty all day. I ought to know.
Mrs. Wilson, you remember the lobby, the clerk?
Of course I do.
What was your room number?
312.
Let's go take a look at it.
No, you can't do that.
Why not? Oh. That gun standard hotel equipment?
Ollie, will you?
Hmm?
What are you doing with that gun?
Taking care of this hoodlum, Mr. Roberts.
The hoodlum's name is Craig. This is Mrs. Wilson. You manage the hotel?
I do. Farley, put away that gun.
Mrs. Wilson, did you see Mr. Roberts this morning?
No.
Mr. Roberts, this woman claims she registered here this morning with her husband. That's not true.
Evidently a misunderstanding, although
we'd like to go up to her room.
312. If it's not occupied, I see no reason why you can't. We went upstairs. The clerk Farley had been very tough. Mr. Roberts was very smooth. I didn't care deeply for either of them. I started hoping in earnest that Myra Wilson's story was true.
312's down the corridor.
Mrs. Wilson, would you mind describing the room?
Well, there was a window over the courtyard. A double bed with a flowered cover. A dark green rug. Wallpaper. Yellow and blue, I think.
Well, that's enough.
312.
Well, says so on the door, too. Okay, open up. Oh, there's a bed. Outside of that, twin beds, not a double. Carpeting is maroon, not green. And the wallpaper, dark brown, striped.
It's not at all the way I described it, but it is the same room. It must be.
Well, Mr. Craig?
Sorry to have bothered you. Let's go, Mrs. Wilson. We picked up my car and I started driving home. That gave me a small chance to think. First thought was I'd heard the story before. Only that was about a girl in Paris in 1890 or thereabouts. She'd lost a hotel, too, along with her mother. The explanation there was that her mother had died of the plague and the whole thing was hushed up so people wouldn't be scared away from the city. That wouldn't work here. We don't have plagues anymore in New York. Which left what? I didn't know, but I thought it might be fun finding out. Now, this is my house. Here's my key. Go on in and try to get some sleep.
Where are you going?
Believe it or not, I'm going to a hotel for the night. The hotel was the Meeker.
Oh, you again.
It's coincidence.
If you're still hopping on that Wilson business...
I'm looking for a room to sleep in.
We're all filled up.
What about 312?
I...
Thanks, I'll take it. Mind showing me to the room?
I'm not supposed to.
But you'll do it for me.
I'll do it for you.
That is, unless you wanted to check with Mr. Roberts first.
He's gone for the night.
Could it be a federal offense?
What?
Kidnapping a room?
I thought you gave up on that.
Well, that's right, too. I forgot.
Your room.
Well, come on in.
I don't have any... Hey, what are you doing?
Well, I'm ripping myself some wallpaper. It's great fun.
Now, you cut that out.
And look what I found under this striped wallpaper. More wallpaper. Guess what color? Oh, you don't like to guess? All right, it's blue and yellow wallpaper. The kind Mrs. Wilson described. Funny?
You can't do things like...
Like finding out this really was Mrs. Wilson's room? And that someone changed the wallpaper, the bed, the rug, while she was out shopping? Only one question. Where's Mr. Wilson? The clerk didn't answer that one, or anything else. I left the hotel for a doorway across the street. I put in time in nicer doorways, but this one was okay. It kept me out of sight. Until the clerk came out of the hotel and started walking. I walked after him. He led me to a dark street filled with discouraged brownstones. He started up the steps. I was maybe 30 yards from him when he opened the door and... walked into bullets. He must have been dead before he fell. All the bullets had hit him. When I got to him, it was only to confirm the obvious. I had news. I needed somebody to tell it to. Roberts was in the phone book. I always track down people that way. Maybe not very smart, but it nearly always works.
Yes? Oh, Mr. Craig.
Mind if I come in?
Well, it's late, but come in.
Thanks.
Don't go any further. I'm entertaining.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello?
I asked you not to...
I said I was sorry. Now I'm not sure. Introduce me.
Mr. Craig, Miss Lane.
Penny Lane?
Penny Lane.
What do you hear from Ben Moran, Miss Lane?
Oh, now you mustn't believe everything you read in the paper.
Oh, it's too bad. You mean he isn't going to give you a hunk of that armored car?
What would I do with an armored car, Mr. Craig?
I see what you mean. Excuse me. Roberts, where's Jim Wilson?
Who is Jim Wilson?
Myra Wilson's husband.
Oh, that poor deluded girl.
Not deluded. Someone changed the wallpaper in the room she had. Underneath was the paper she'd described.
Oh? I can't imagine why or who would...
Try anyway.
Farley's really the one to ask. He's in charge of such things.
Oh, I asked him. He said he takes orders from you.
I'm afraid he's lying, Mr. Craig.
Would you like to tell him that?
I should like nothing better.
Because you know he's dead?
Mr. Craig, I don't think I have anything further to say to you.
Too bad. I was enjoying our little chat.
Good night, Mr. Craig.
I suppose you need time for rehearsal.
Rehearsal of what?
Your story to the police. Farley was murdered.
You know, I'm not surprised. Apparently, he was involved in something crooked.
Is that so?
Why, yes. Checking Mr. and Mrs. Wilson in, then denying he'd done so. Having the room changed while they were out.
It's going to be all Farley from now on, huh?
I'm afraid he wasn't an honest man.
Anyway, from now on, he's going to be a silent one. You can load anything you like on him. But you've got to make it stick, Roberts, otherwise it won't mean anything. Good night.
Mr. Craig?
Yes?
Mind if I come with you?
No.
That's nice. Night, Mr. Roberts. You know, Mr. Craig, what's your first name?
Mary.
Nice. Call me Penny, please.
Penny.
Ooh, that's even nicer. But anyway, I was saying, I don't think Mr. Roberts is really a gentleman.
Now, that's hard to believe.
Oh, I'm very serious.
Well, you ought to know.
Mary, you mustn't misunderstand. I've never been up to his apartment before.
You were there tonight.
Well, that was because Mr. Roberts said he had some beautiful etchings, and I love etchings, so... But you know what?
What?
There wasn't a single etching in the place.
We got into my car and drove away. Penny was a very beautiful woman who sounded like a half-wit and wasn't. She was putting on the Paris and springtime routine, pretending she'd fallen for my manly beauty, but she wanted something from me, and it wasn't love. What it was, I hoped I'd find out. Ben Moran must have been a rough playmate.
I don't know why you keep talking about him.
He fascinates me. Wanted by the police for a few murder raps, swindles, armed robberies, income tax evasions... Passing a red light?
Ben would never pass a red light.
Oh, sorry.
Apology accepted. Take me home.
Where?
27 Carlton Drive.
Okay, that's only a couple of blocks over. Penny. The moon's still beautiful. The night's young. The air's filled with the fragrance of flowers. Where's Ben Moran nowadays?
I used to be a friend of his. I'm not anymore. If you don't believe me, ask the police, and I hate you. So kindly shut up.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you're home.
Thank you.
Oh, before you go, Penny, there's something I have to ask you.
What?
Who told you to play Mata Hari with me?
Play what?
Beautiful female spy.
I think you're absolutely insulting.
I said you were beautiful.
Good night.
I watched Penny walk into her apartment house and then drove away. I thought about her. She was angry, a liar, and the kind of girl who'd go very good on most desert islands. But I didn't have one. So I went home. When I got there, though, I wasn't happy. Myra Wilson was gone. Whether she'd gone on her own or had been persuaded was something I might find out sometime or other. It was a cold trail. I decided I'd try to warm it up a bit. The first step was driving uptown to Robert's house, parking opposite it, and using the phone booth in an all-night drugstore. I had no guarantee the gimmick would work. I didn't have much choice.
Yes?
Ben, I can't say anything over the phone, but come over right away.
Who'd you say you were?
Ben Moran, you jerk. Right away. Goodbye. I figured the phone call, if Roberts didn't have too good an ear, would make things happen. I got back to my car and started waiting. Either Roberts was going to sit tight or he was going to make a move. To do me any good or to do Mr. and Mrs. Wilson any good, he'd have to make a move. Maybe he would. I kept on waiting. Roberts must have mistaken me for Ben Moran. He made his move. He got into his car, gunned it, and went away. So did I. Things were maybe picking up. We were across the river in Jersey, up a dark road to a small house whose lights picked out pieces of the dark sky. I pulled up and stopped a ways down the road from the house. I watched Roberts get out, knock, and go inside. And then I started walking. I knew Roberts was in that house. I could be pretty sure a killer named Ben Moran was there. And who else? I could afford to wait and find out. That is, I had thought I could. The front door was closest. I didn't bother knocking. Hello?
Mr. Craig. Oh, Mr. Craig.
You better save it. There's no time.
Over there near the fireplace.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's dead.
He's dead. How did you get out here?
Cab. At your house, I got a phone call from Jim. That's my husband. I got here, he let me in, said someone was trying to kill him.
Someone did. You see who?
The shots came from there.
Yeah. The door, half ajar. Whoever was in the other room would have taken off as soon as he heard me come in.
I can't really believe Jim is dead.
Start practicing. He's dead. The only thing is, he's not really Jim Wilson. That new corpse, Myra, is Ben Moran. Went through his pockets, found nothing but small change, called the nearest sheriff, and got out with Myra.
Why? How could it have...
After his last job, Moran was hot. He had to hole up and pick your town for it. Married you under the name of Wilson. Maybe that was even his real name.
He had a birth certificate.
Then it was. Ben Moran was his business name.
Oh, I should have known long ago. He didn't work, but always had money.
He hasn't got it anymore. But maybe Roberts can tell us about things.
The hotel manager?
Sure. He knew Moran, helped Moran on that disappearing hotel routine. That was to get rid of you. Well, you better face up to it. Makes it easier to forget.
I suppose so.
Moran must have decided the time was ripe to start spending his dough. Had to get rid of you without the police being called in. Or even if they were called in, not believing your story.
They wouldn't have.
No. But maybe we'll get them one now they will believe. We made good time back to Robert's apartment house, but he'd made better. His car was there. And so was he. Mind if we come in?
I mind.
We're still coming in. Come on, Meyer.
This rust stuff won't get you anywhere.
It got us inside. How's Moran?
Moran?
Yeah, the man who phoned a couple of hours ago.
I received no such call.
Oh, stop. I made it.
You?
I wanted to meet Moran. I trailed you to his hideout in Jersey.
Then answer your questions yourself.
The police wouldn't. They'd ask you to answer them.
Suppose you let me worry about them.
You'd better. They're going to think you shot Moran.
What for?
Money. Very convincing motive.
I didn't kill him?
Maybe I might believe you, but the police wouldn't. Not after I told them how you conspired with Moran to get rid of his wife.
You couldn't prove that.
Because your clerk Farley's dead? Don't be so hopeful. Myra can tell her story. The original wallpaper is still on the walls of 312, underneath the new stuff you plastered on. You were around when Moran was killed. All of that would add up to a nice package for a jury.
You said you might believe me.
I did.
Who have you got in mind for the killing?
Penny Lane. No use, Miss Lane. Your perfume's too distinctive. Come on out of that room and join us, huh?
Hello. I was looking for an etching.
You were looking for a lot of etchings, with the Secretary of the Treasury's signature on them.
I didn't find even one.
Too bad. I'm sure Moran wanted you to have them.
And I'm going to get them.
Well, the gun loaded?
Uh-huh. Barry, raise your arms.
Why?
I'm going to search you.
You better not. I'm ticklish.
Not that ticklish. When there's a gun pointing at you.
Well, maybe not. Well?
You don't have the money?
Nope.
What'd you do with it?
Gave it to Myra.
Mr. Craig.
I asked her to hold it for me.
But...
Oh, it's no use, Myra.
No use at all, dear. Give me that handbag.
No.
I'll take it. There. I'll open it, too. Barry.
Hmm?
You're a liar.
I am?
There's no money in Myra's bag. There's a gun, though.
That's why I wanted you to take the bag away from her.
Why, you... What?
Sure. Myra is very good with a gun.
But you... But she...
Stop making noises and point your gun at Mrs. Wilson. She happens to have murdered the hotel clerk Farley and her husband as well. Girls maybe will be girls, but she wanted to be a killer. Myra was very quiet about it all. She said nothing. Even when the police came and took her away, she said nothing. She was waiting for a jury and hoping there'd be mostly men on it. I'll be glad to tell you what broke the case, Willie.
I didn't ask you.
Well, I've got to tell somebody. Now, look. Moran wanted to shake Myra, so he had Roberts and Farley pull the disappearing hotel stunt on her. But she got to Farley. Forced him to tell her where Moran was hiding out. Then killed Farley to make sure he'd stay quiet.
I can recommend the hamburgers.
Here?
Nah, that new place down the block.
Well, anyway, the way she gave herself away was she told me her husband had phoned her at my place. Told her where he was hiding out in Jersey and so on. But Willie, how would her husband or anyone else have known that she was staying at my place?
They serve it with a kind of coleslaw that ain't all bad.
Isn't all bad? Willie, nothing can be all bad.
Have another cup of coffee?
My mistake. Anyway, here I am, left without a case, without a fee, without... Hey, stop breathing down the back of my neck.
Turn around and I'll breathe down the front of it.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
But you can't say I'm left without a penny.
You have been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, Nobody Lives There Anymore, was written by Louis Vitez. Next week, it's the strange story of the moving target, about which Barry Craig has this to say. In next week's story, The Moving Target, a high-flying globetrotter finds that sheer elbow room is no insurance for survival when a felonious blonde makes a passionate effort to bring him down to earth, really deep down, that is. The National Broadcasting Company has just brought you an NBC Radio Network production with William Gargan starring as Barry Craig, confidential investigator, directed by Andrew C. Love. Heard on tonight's cast were Jerry Hausner, Joan Banks, Stanley Farrar, and Doris Singleton. Join Groucho Marx for You Bet Your Life tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
That's going to do it for the show this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from This Is Your FBI, Barry Craig, thousands of other old-time radio episodes at relicradio.com. We'll, of course, find more from Case Closed, all the other podcasts, and our Shoutcast stream is available there as well. Don't forget to click on that donate button if you'd like to help us out. And thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. And thanks for joining me this week. Be back next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.